Greetings. Just so you know, great as Artemis of the Americans. I find this so fascinating. You know, as a young kid, I'd actually watched the last couple of the Mercury shots when we fired the Mercury rockets into space. You know, this was a single person in the capsule, and you know, I didn't do that much. Did do the orbital flight. You know, this is when was it Shepard who was the first one who got up, but it wasn't a complete orbit. And then John Glenn made the first orbit. Of course, the Russians beat us, so that was you know, very very much problem egos. But then after the Mercury missions, we had the Gemini missions, which I watched, and it was two men. We did a variety of things, including spacewalks. You know, that was the ooh ah kind of thing, and we actually brought up a second vehicle with the capsule that once it got up there, they detached, reversed around so that it attached to the front so they could actually go back and forth. And it was developing some new techniques that would eventually be used for the Apollo mission, because when the Apollo went up, there was the capsule on top, and below it was a big container. Inside that container was the lunar lander, which was a very fragile device compared to the rest of it. So, but, you know, once you got to the moon, it was as strong as could be. And it was intended to be, you know, light and simple and so forth. So it went up into space. Once it was orbiting the Earth, the lunar lander was moved from the back to the front, and they attached. And then they went off towards the moon. And, you know, first time they went around, then eventually landed. And obviously that's once. And that was the mess up, you know, because Neil Armstrong was supposed to say, that's one small step for a man and one giant leap for mankind. And he didn't put the A in there. That was apparently the plan and goofed. But, you know, anyway, but now, after about 50 years, there's a new space capsule called the Artemis. And for the first time after many years of delays, it was shot up into space. I'm not sure, I don't follow that much, but my assumption is the objective, it's empty, but the objective would be to fly it to the moon. I don't know if it's just going to do orbit and come back, but I think it's to fly it to the moon and then return back and make sure everything works, just like was done with the Apollo. You make sure everything works without people in it, because if there's a mistake, you don't want to find out with somebody going, I'm dying here, because there's no one to help you. So that is very rational in that sense. But I find it more than fascinating, because some people might remember the Book of Acts. And this is where Paul goes to Ephesus. I'm going to read part because it's I think it's fascinating. I'll read it in the LSV. Why not? Starting verse 10. And this happened for 2 years, so that all those dwelling in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. So that's kind of the setup. Also mighty works, not common, God was working through the hands of Paul, so that even to the alien were brought from his body handkerchiefs or aprons, that the diseases departed from them, the evil spirits also went forth from them. And certain of the wandering exorcist Jews took to them the name over these having the evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, we adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preaches. And there were certain seven sorts of sons of Sceva, a Jew, a chief priest, who were doing this thing. The evil spirit answered and said, I know Jesus. I am acquainted with Paul. And you, who are you? Anyway, I found this funny. Anyway, and the man whom the evil spirit leaped on them, having overcome them, prevailed against them, that they fled naked and wounded out of the house. And this became known to all, both Jews and Greeks, who are dwelling in Ephesus. And the fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was being magnified. And many also of those who believed were coming, confessing, and declaring their acts. And many of those who had practiced superfluous arts, having brought the scrolls together, were burned them before all, and they reckoned together the prices of them, and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So powerful was the word of God, increasing and prevailing. So that kind of sets up the stage. But, you know, what's fascinating here is, you know, the idea, yeah, I know about Jesus, and, you know, I definitely know Jesus, but, and yes, I know about Paul. Who are you? Why would I care about you? And obviously, because I think this is important. Why would an evil spirit care about you? You're not Jesus. It's not because you have power. We see later, resist the devil and he will flee from you. So it's not that your power alone, but if you're Christ and you resist the devil won't touch you, not because of you, but because of Christ. And I think one of the issues it requires is trust. Because if I don't have trust, what happens if something like this occurs? And I go up against something more powerful than me. And if I go up against something more powerful than me, my trust is in me or my arrogance about being a Christian. I could flee naked and wounded, which is not a good thing. But it ends with the idea that they burned their scrolls, 50,000 pieces of silver. In other words, this was a lot of material value that they burned. They said, what's valuable to us in this world, we say no to. I want my Creator, my Lord, Jesus. But it goes on, which is very relevant. And when these things were fulfilled, Paul exposed in the Spirit, purposed in the Spirit, having gone through Macedonia and Achaia, to go on to Jerusalem, saying, after my being there, it is also necessary for me to see Rome. And having sent to Macedonia two of those ministering to him, Timotheus and Erastus, he himself stayed a time in Asia. And there came at that time not a little stir about the way. For a certain one, Demetrius by name, a worker of silver, making silver sanctuaries of Artemis, was bringing to the craftsmen not a little gain, whom, having brought a crowd together and those who worked around such things, he said, men, you know that this work we have our wealth. And you see and hear that not only in Ephesus, but almost all in all Asia, this Paul, having persuaded, turned away a great multitude, saying, they who are made by hands are not gods. And not only is this department in danger for us coming into disregard, but also that the great goddess of Artemis, the temple, is to be reckoned for nothing, and also her greatness is about to be brought down, whom all Asia and the world worships. So, a couple things. And there came at that time not a little stir about the way. One of the things I think, again, is important. When you see the term Christian, is how the world describes the follower of Christ. What was normally talked about was, you know, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So about the way. A follower of Christ, the way, things of that nature. Those are the terms used by followers of Christ. The idea of Christian is, you know, I don't have a real big, where this is extremely significant, but I do think it's worth noting because it may be, and I don't know why yet at this point. But what is their concern? If people say, oh, this Artemis that we are worshiping isn't real. You know, this worker in silver. Also the great goddess, you know, not only is the department in danger for us coming into disregard, By this work, we have our wealth. That's issue. So they have their wealth because of people worshiping Artemis. So it goes on. Having become full of wrath, they were crying out, saying, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." And this is where I get "Great is Artemis of the Americans." It's a play on this. This is, you know, unambiguous. It's a play on this. So, and the whole city was filled with confusion. They rushed also with one accord into the theater, having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, Macedonians, Paul's fellow travelers. And on Paul's resolving to enter into the populace, the disciples were not permitting him. And also some of the chief men of Asia, being his friends, having sent him, were pleading with him not to venture into the theater himself. Some indeed, therefore, were calling out one thing, some another, for the assembly was confused, and the greater part did not know what they had come together. And out of the multitude they put forward Alexander, the Jews thrusting him forward, and Alexander, having beckoned with his hand, wished to make a defense to the populace, and having known that he is a Jew, one voice came out of all for about 2 hours, crying, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." Great is Artemis of the Americans! So note at this point, and the greater part did not know what they had come together. In other words, it was a mob. This is a very common thing. You get a crowd and you stir them up. They didn't know why, but the whole crowd is stirred up. So let's get stirred up because it's fun to be stirred up with the whole crowd. That's exactly what it is. So you stirred up the crowd. And, you know, it's also, and the public clerk, having quieted the multitude, says, "Men, Ephesians, why? Who is the man that does not know that the city of Ephesus is the temple keeper of the great goddess Artemis, and of that which fell down from Zeus? These things, then, being undeniable, it's necessary for you to be quiet and to do nothing rashly." Note also the tone here. These things being undeniable. You got to get the vaccine. It's undeniable. It's a problem if you don't. It's the exact same thing. The crowds, the authorities say, this is undeniable. Because of our authority, we say this. And collectively, we make a lot of money, don't we? "For you brought these men who are neither temple robbers nor slanderers of your goddess. If indeed, therefore, Demetrius and the craftsmen with them have a matter with anyone, court days are held, and there are proconsuls. Let them accuse one another. And if you seek after anything concerning other matters, it will be determined in a legal assembly. For we are also in peril being accused of insurrection in regard to this day. There is no occasion by which we will be able to give an account for this concourse." And having said these things, he dismissed the assembly. So again, you know, being accused of an insurrection. Does it remind you of January 6th here? And you know, because again, it's just an accusation, because you get a crowd and you say, aha, that's what we're going to call it. The point that I have to make, because obviously we see three times here the word assembly, and reading the LSV is assembly, in the King James it's assembly, in the ESV it's assembly, but it's the word ecclesia. So everywhere else in the King James and so forth, and the ESV, it's translated as church. But here it's translated as assembly. And dismissed is the apoluo, which we see in Matthew translated as divorce. So, and having said these things, he divorced the church, would be a consistent translation for the ESV and King James. But again, this is a blatant example of why the translation may have an agenda. And yes, that's a rather big statement. But what do you see here? you saw the crowd who say, okay, we have all these books and whatnot, or scrolls, and we're going to burn them because we reject our past, what we have been doing. We have been worshiping a false god. We have now see that the true God, the one true God, is Jesus Christ. We repent of our false worship, and we will bow before our Lord. And all the things that we have built up, these scrolls and so forth, we're going to burn them. Because we want no part of what we our past was. It cost us lots of money. But it's not money we worship. It's the Lord Jesus Christ we worship. But then, these silversmiths are worshiping silver. You know, a lot of times you'll see not rich, but the wealthy or whatever, comes from the idea of lover of silver. And so, you know, we can see this very clearly here. And what were they concerned about? They use the idea of worshiping Artemis and say, well, this is our excuse. They're saying that Artemis isn't real. And what is our concern? Because we believe in Artemis? No, because it's going to cost us some money. If the idea of the worship of Artemis in the temple and whatnot goes away, and people do like the others and burn stuff, that's going to stick into our business, our income and whatnot. So we have to say, no, these people are bad. Great is Artemis of the Americans. And why do I say the Americans? Because what we see here in Acts 19 is identical today. In the most direct, by using the name example, is obviously the Artemis spacecraft. You know, we use Gemini, Apollo, Mercury, and now Artemis, because, you know, it's a consistent set of names. And so you could make much of that or not, but that's really not the point. The objective is, what is the purpose? What is one of the big purposes? For example, we're going to delay things. I mean, it's been delayed for years. We're going to do all these wonderful things. What is the big news item? We're going to the moon. We're going to put the first woman on the moon and the first person of color. And I do find that fascinating. Does it matter? If I'm going to do something, do I want the right diversity or do I want the right person? No, our focus is diversity. That's why we want a woman and a person of color. The focus is not, we want to go to the moon in order to do this, that, or the other, to, whatever purpose you want to say. Our focus is politics. And why do we want to keep this program going? It's a multi-billion-dollar program. If you say anything against it, get a crowd together, great is Artemis of the Americans. Because our focus is the almighty dollar. And we worship at the feet of our God, the U.S. dollar. That's what happens. And I would suggest the bulk of the motivation, because how many people really care about space? There was an enthusiasm when I was young. There was a lot of people who, you know, when I could talk to, even in elementary school, when you know, some of the early stuff, and then it was, I was what, junior high? I wasn't high school, it was junior high, I think, when Apollo 11 went up. And that was, wow, kind of stuff. But I could talk to my fellow students, and we wouldn't talk about, we need to get a person of color up there. We would talk about look at the interesting artifacts that we found. Let's talk about how orbits work and the whole purpose behind, we go up, we make the orbits around the Earth, and then we do the boost to get up to the moon and whatnot, and all these kind of things. This was actually something talked about. And, the various interesting things about spacewalks and whatnot, that was, now it's commonplace. And nobody cares. The objective now is money and pride. You know, great as Artemis of the Americans, because we're going to beat the Soviets. Well, no, the Russians. You know, it's ironic, isn't it, that that relationship is ending, but it, apparently still going on. That a lot of, because U.S. space program had some issues with the space shuttle that was canceled. And so the trips up to the space station was for the last many years, the Russians would send up, because they had a reliable, spacecraft that would get people up and bring people back, and they continue to do it. But now the Chinese have their own space station in orbit. And the Russians, I think they're putting up something also of their own. And the relationship between U.S. and Russia, it's just now, in the next year or two, it's only the European Space Agency and NASA that will do the International Space Station. So it'll be less international. The Chinese have their own, and the Russians have their own. And of course, the Chinese are already on the moon. They have a device on the backside of the moon now. And they're planning on all sorts of things. And I don't know where the Russians are on going to the moon. But the Chinese are very aggressive going to the moon. So there's a competition here. But so what? You know, there's the marketing aspect of it. But why? Do we need to go to the moon? Because we want to then use that as a stepping stone to get to Mars, as is often talked about. Because we want to get man on Mars, because we want to be able to go out to other planets. You know, this is a Star Trek and Star Wars kind of stuff. Yeah, let's do this kind of stuff. But there's some problems here. Mars is less than hospitable. And a lot of the idea that, oh, yes, we can make it. Yeah, right. There's a whole lot of problems. You look at what happens to the people who are on the space shuttle, the space station, and they're there for months, and they come back, and they have some issues. You'll see when they come back, usually they have to be carried because their body has weakened. And so that's just a little ways up. What's going to happen when somebody spends a year on the moon? I think we may find that maybe man is not designed for that. So this is going to be really interesting. And then, of course, Mars is radically different. But anyway, but that's sensationalism. And it's, why do we have to invest all this money? Why does the state involuntarily take funds from the taxpayer in order to fund this? Obviously, great as Artemis of the Americans, there's money to be made. There's serious money to be made. Do we want to beat the Soviets to the moon? No, there's serious money to be made. But you see that in the NASA program. We'll see this in other areas. The military is the same way, because we are great and they are not. And so we need a big military and go into all sorts of things like that. And so many other things. And when we look at the terms like the assembly, the ecclesia, the church, do we see the same thing in the institutional church? I would suggest yes. Because we don't worship Artemis in the church. We say we worship Jesus, but don't bring up any challenge to the way we worship Jesus. Because if you point out a flaw in our reasoning, that we may be doing something, okay, we meet on Sunday in an institution because the Lord said meet on Sunday in an institution. Wait a minute. What does the Lord say meet on Sunday in an institution? The only examples we see is meeting on Sunday in somebody's house. So why do we have the institution? And then, of course, you know, so many easy things. We have to give the tithe, food for the Levites. And so where does the institutional church replace them? Don't question that, because great is Artemis of the Americans. Or great is Jesus of the institutional church. Not as great as Jesus, our Creator. It's worth considering. I found it fascinating. Technology-wise, it's kind of... Well, the other thing, because when the Mercury, the Gemini, and the Apollo... because there's the picture of... can we see it? Here, right there. That's the Apollo 16 spacecraft. That's really one of those. That's the one before the Artemis. And this one literally went around the moon. And, you know, the thing that was so fascinating about that, because, you know, again, I watched it happen, is inside you have the seats with all sorts of controls and knobs and dials and whatnot. Really complicated seats, and then the panels in front of them had all sorts of meters and valves and gauges and whatnot. It was full of that kind of stuff. You look at the Artemis spacecraft, or you know the others, the competitors from SpaceX and from the Russians, whatnot. It's kind of almost an empty room, just a comfortable chair and some displays, some flat panel displays. It's kind of like. All that complexity, all that massive wiring, all those gauges, they're gone. Because they can, you know, is I need to look at something, I'm going to bring it up on the screen. The whole idea has changed. And so the capsule has become not this massive thing. Most of the wiring effectively is in software now, which I find so fascinating. But you know, it gives a whole lot more room. It's a lot more comfortable an environment. You know, I remember the point is, when I say great is Artemis of the Americans, it's a play in Acts 19. Because the Artemis spacecraft is not really the point. It is in the sense that that's what's being used. It's the worship of the space program. And it's the symbol of it. Just like, you know, Artemis, the false god, all the silver sanctuaries and whatnot. That's how they worship. And we worship by having this thing. And it's, you know, and of course, again, these are high paid jobs involved in this. And then, of course, we make it very marketable because our objective is to get a woman and a person of color up to the moon. I'm sorry, but that's stupid. You don't get somebody because of their ethnicity up to the moon or because they're man or woman. You get them up there, if you're going to do this, because they're the best person for the job. Oh, I'm sorry, that's racist, isn't it? We need to get a homosexual to the moon. We need to get a transgender child to the moon. Because that's what science is all about, right? No, it's about the money, money and power. Anyway, I found that fascinating. There are other things, but I won't go into that because half hour already. There's a joy in the fascinating technology and whatnot, and the idea of sending spacecraft up and doing things. But again, the U.S. government does it through NASA. The Russian government does it through their space program. The Chinese government has their own space program, their own space station. Iran is sending up rockets, and India is sending up rockets of their own designs. We don't have exclusivity like we did between the U.S. and the Soviets years ago. And then, of course, there's SpaceX, the two others. The guy who did... anyway, there are two others. They're commercial. Of course, they get a lot of their money through government contracts, but still, they're commercial. And it's not... So why is Artemis all that great? Maybe it's just a silver shrine to make a bunch of money. And maybe we need to get a mob to make sure that our money keeps coming in. Because great is Artemis of the Americans! Well, actually, for me, and there came at that time not a little stir about the way. That's what I want to follow. The guy who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's the man I want to follow. Because he's not just a man, he's my creator. And I don't need a silver shrine. I don't need to make money off of him. I need to trust him. My lady, my wife, the woman I love and adore. Great is the Lord Jesus Christ, our Creator, who I trust. I love you and I want you back.